This morning I'm going to talk about one of the parables that Jesus told, actually the parable of the lost sheep. But if I was to put a title to the talk, I wouldn't call it the lost sheep, I'd call it Love, Don't Judge. That's what I'd call it. And really I'm going to start talking about the context in which Jesus told this parable, because I think it's very important. If I read Luke 15, the first three verses in the Message, it says, "By this time, a lot of men and women of doubtful reputation were hanging around Jesus, listening intently. The Pharisees and religion scholars were not pleased, not at all pleased. They growled. He takes in sinners and eats meals with them, treating them like old friends." Their grumbling triggered this story. It was because they were really upset. I think some people nowadays say that they were ticked off. They were fed up because Jesus didn't recognise that they were more important than the sinners or the tax collectors. I think in the NIV it says the tax collectors. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And it says then Jesus told this parable. So they are really annoyed that Jesus is welcoming sinners. That's his crime. And that he is being friendly with them. And what he's not doing is he's not recognizing or affirming that they, the Pharisees, are actually more important in their eyes. Because after all, they are the ones that keep God's law. They are the ones that were supposed to be teaching the people about God. And here comes this man who seems a little bit as though he comes from God. Because after all, they've got to acknowledge that he's doing miracles and he's speaking with authority. And yet, he seems to be pally with the sinners and not with them. And they're really annoyed at that. And their annoyance actually, as we know, turns to jealousy and envy and in the end to murder. And it made me think sometimes we like to think we're better than the Pharisees. And I thought, I wonder if a man of God came around in England and started to have great success, and that wherever he went, God really used him to heal people. And in his meetings, the presence of God was so real. And maybe he had been booked to come to Crawley, and we're all getting excited because we really want to experience God's presence like that. We want to see God doing a miracle in front of our eyes. And just a few days before this man comes to speak in Crawley, he cancels it. And he says, "Well, I just feel I should be speaking, just talking and getting to know the people at casinos and nightclubs." I wonder how we'd feel. Would we be ticked off with him? Because we've been so looking forward to that. And after all, we're the Christians, aren't we? We want to see that. And he's going to people. He's not even speaking to them. He's just getting to know them. So we can easily judge the Pharisees, can't we? And judge men of God. Like, they judged Jesus, didn't they? Not only did they judge the sinners, but they judged Jesus. They thought, he can't be a man of God if he's being friends with them and not us. So that's how the story starts. That's rather what triggered the story. Jesus has got a crowd in front of him, and that there are the two groups in there. There's the Pharisees, who are a bit fed up because Jesus is not recognizing them. And then there are people that it says in the message were listening intently. And in the NIV, it says gathering around to him. So he's got a sort of mixed crowd, hasn't he? Some really wanting to hear what he's got to say, others looking to criticize him. And it's in that context that he tells this story. And he says, suppose one of you had 100 sheep and one of them was lost. Wouldn't you go and look for that lost sheep? Isn't that sheep important to you? Would you go? And he's almost saying, yeah, you would, wouldn't you? You'd go, you'd look for that lost sheep. And when you found that lost sheep, what would you do? It almost as though he changes the person of the story then, and it's not talking about you, but talking about a good shepherd. The good shepherd, what would he do? Would he kick the lost sheep because it's stupid and got lost? No, it says he picks it up, puts it on his shoulder. And I just think he's almost sort of face to face with the lamb, with the sheep. Where's the pic? Oh, you're sitting right in front of the picture. On his picture. With the lamb. There, that Jesus picks that lamb up and speaks gently to that lamb. He isn't cross with that lamb. He's saying, it's okay, you're all right. I'm going to carry you back home. He carries the lamb back home. And then what does he do? Party time! Immediately! Party time! Okay, because he's so pleased. The story comes in a series of three stories, and it's all to do with being lost. It's the first one, the lost sheep, then you get the lost coin, and then you get the lost sons. The point is that the sheep is lost. The shepherd hasn't lost the sheep. The sheep lost itself. It could have stayed with the rest of the flock. It lost itself. And the Bible says we are all like that. All we like sheep, I think it's Isaiah 53:6, I think. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. We are all, at one time or other, we all have been lost. We're a bunch of losers. Some of us have been found, but we were losers. We've all been that sheep. And Jesus has gone after each one of us. Each one of us has been that important to him. So we've all been lost. We've been lost in the sense that when God made us, it says in Ecclesiastes, he put eternity in our hearts. He put a sense of there is more to this life than this life. There is more. There's eternity. And somewhere, a lot of people have suppressed it, but somewhere there's that feeling that there's more to this life. There is more to this life. God's put that in. Some people call it the God-shaped hole. And it's that that makes us, has made us lost. And God is searching for each of us. He's going after us. Often we feel that when we come to Jesus, that we have been searching for him. And in a sense, we do search for him. But actually, it's his initiative from the beginning. He is searching for us. And it's him that loves us. And he comes for us. And when he finds us, he says, it's party time. Now, you haven't got to get cleaned up and sorted out first. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? The father sent for the robe and everything then, while he was still in his the muck from looking after the pigs. Jesus celebrates us being found as soon as we're found. You know, when people are really low, the devil and the world tell them a whole lot of lies. They say, you're not important. Whatever makes you think God would be interested in you, if God met you, he will judge you because you've been awful. You've done some awful things. God's just a judge up in the sky. And his wrath will come on you. That's what some people think God is like. Or that he's too busy. He's the creator of the universe, the universes, and he's not interested in you. But that is not the truth. The truth is that he loves each one of us. That he made each one of us unique. And he loves each one of us. And when he finds us and we find him, he doesn't say, you've done this wrong, you've done that wrong, you've done the other wrong. He says, let's have a party. Let's celebrate. That's what he says. He pours his love on us. And it's interesting that we have these two groups of people, because Jesus says at the end of the story, I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And I don't fully understand what that means, except I sort of feel it means a bit that you've got to know you're lost to be found. And those Pharisees that were listening to him didn't think they were lost. They may have known that there is none good but God. So they wouldn't have put themselves on the same level as God, but they certainly put themselves above the sinners. They started comparing themselves with those others. And we are told not to judge. We're told not to judge because we are not to compare ourselves with anyone else. Because actually, each one of us is unique. None of us knows what God has put in each person. And none of us knows all the hurts and rejections that that person has had. And we do not know where we would have been if we'd walked their walk. We do not know. Remember how Peter said, well, the rest of them will deny you, but I won't. I won't. And Jesus knew. Because sometimes we have far too high opinion of ourselves. And God's saying to us, don't judge. You don't know. You don't know what that person has gone through. And sometimes we are too easy to judge the Pharisees too. And think, well, Jesus was telling this parable for those that recognized they were lost. But Jesus too loved the Pharisees. And I was listening to a recording of a Greg Boyd sermon, and he was talking about taking his dog a walk. And he said he takes his dog a walk in the evening with his wife, and they walk towards the park, and often just before they get to the park, they take the dog off the lead, and he just walks alongside them, and as soon as he gets to the park, he runs off like a mad thing. And he was saying one evening they did this as usual, took the dog off the lead, he was trotting along by them, and suddenly the dog head off. And before they got to the park, and his wife saw that there were cars coming and the dog was in danger, and his wife screamed, Max, no! And the dog stopped and trotted back to them with his head down, wondering what he'd done wrong, and thinking that they're really cross with me. They're really cross with me. But Greg said, no, it wasn't a scream of rage. It was a scream of love. Because she wanted to stop the dog from being run over. And sometimes God almost has to scream at us. No! It's because he can see down the line where that could lead to. And he loves us. He doesn't want us to go through some of the things that we go through. So sometimes it seems as though Jesus was really very harsh with the Pharisees. But it's almost as though he was sort of saying, don't you see that I love you too? I'm saying these things that seem confrontational because I want you to be awake, to realize what's happening. So Jesus loves everyone. And he calls us to love everyone. We're to love the sinners, which we all are. And we're to love the people that we think are better than us. And we are not to compare ourselves, not only with those that we think are worse. It's not our job to put ourselves down either. We are not to compare ourselves with others and think, oh, they're better than us. We are who God made us. We are unique. And Jesus says, don't judge, love. Love just like the Father loves you. And as we come to communion, I want us to think about that. To recognize if we have at times been thinking of people and thinking of ourselves as better than others or worse than others. Because Jesus wants us just to love and accept the love that he gave to us. Because he went through such a lot, didn't he? So he could have a relationship with us. Because he loves each one of us. And sometimes it's hard to understand why people do things that don't seem right. It was hard for me to see those other girls trying to stop us helping the one that needed help. But I realise they're frightened. It's not that they don't love that their friend. They're frightened. And sometimes we can so misjudge people. And Jesus doesn't want us to. Jesus said, just love them. Everyone. Amen.